Faster than a speeding bullet. More powerful than a locomotive. Able to leap tall buildings in a single bound.
Look, up in the sky.
It's a bird.
It's a plane.
It's Superman.
Podcast.
Superman was created by Jerome Siegel and Joe Shuster.
Hi, I'm Ian.
And I'm Steven.
And you're listening to the Saturday
morning Superman
show. Well, welcome back to the Saturday morning Superman show, your podcast about Superman and animation across generations. So I know at the end of last episode, we said we were going to get into our episode coverage for season two of Superman, the animated series. But we have a lot of information that has surfaced since recording our last couple episodes. We call those Superman Legacy Talk. So originally it was going to be three episodes, and we did promise that we were going to do more Superman coverage, like the upcoming film coverage. I don't think we expected to have as much information right off the bat, so fear not. We do have our TAS episode coverage coming up soon, but the information we have, it's hot. So this is episode four of our Legacy Talk, essentially. So we have some fun stuff to cover, but I know right off the bat, Steven wanted me to share this story a couple weekends ago. I actually got to meet Mr. Michael Ironside. So I went up to Monster Mania convention in Cherry Hill, New Jersey, and it is a horror convention. I'd say more horror adjacent because they do have just pop culture guests in general. But of course, Mr. Ironside was in, Scanners and, Starship Troopers, and, he's a phenomenal actor, but I think Scanners was probably like his big draw for folks at a horror convention. But of course, I wanted to talk to him about his performance as Darkseid, and not only Superman TAS, he reprised the role in Justice League Unlimited, and the Harley Quinn animated series. I was going to go out on a limb and see if he would at all be interested or willing to participate in a like a guest spot on the Saturday Morning Superman show. See if we could interview him. I spoke to his agent beforehand, and he was like, yeah, I mean, we don't do them. You could plan it, and you'd have to do it through the agency, and it sounded like there might have been a fee involved, so I was just like, oh, whatever, like, you know, I'll just talk to him in person. And he was as nice as he could be. Like, amazing opportunity to meet Michael Ironside. And so I said, I want to talk to you about your role in Superman as Darkseid. And he's a super nice guy. He's jokey, he's sarcastic. So he was like, he looked up at me when I mentioned Superman TAS, and he was like, well, it was just me in a booth. And he just left it at that for a second, and I started laughing. He started laughing. He was like, no, honestly, I don't have a whole lot to say about it. Not that it's a bad thing, but he's like, it's lonely. Like, it's literally just you recording in a booth, and they have you doing, you know, different takes, like, you know, put more inflection on this word versus this word. And you know, you do a bunch of different takes. And he was like, I was filming in Toronto at the time. And he's like, of course I couldn't tell you what I was filming, but you know, they reached out and said, would you be willing to do this? And I said, sure, why not? So I asked him if he was a comic book fan at all. Like, was he into that sort of stuff? And he said a little. He was like, growing up, I was much more of an Iron Man guy, he said, because of my last name. And I thought that was funny. He's like, I probably have an OG Iron Man number one in my basement somewhere. He's like, I'm glad you mentioned this. He's like, I think I need to go down there and look for it. He's like, yeah, he's like, the comic book stuff is fine. And he said, I really did enjoy Darkseid. Yeah. So, I mean, that was pretty much it. He didn't have a whole lot of It sounded like he may have not had any kind of, meeting of any of the other guests or voice cast for Superman TAS in person. I don't think it was anything like Mark Hamill and Kevin Conroy being in a sound booth together, you know. But he, you know, hopped up, gave me a hug, which was funny. Got a photo op with him. He signed an autograph from Scanners because I'm a huge Scanners fan. And yeah, just an awesome memory. I'm glad I got to talk to him about Superman TAS and Darkseid. So it's always really, really just a treat when you get to meet somebody that was had any sort of role to play in the DC animated universe. So it was great meeting Michael Ironside.
Yeah, I was so excited when you told me that you were going to be heading to that convention and when you spoke of Michael Ironside being one of the guests. I'd probably have to say that my first introduction to Michael Ironside was Total Recall.
That's right, yeah.
One of the villains. And so, you know, you think of like the different numerous actors that have been a part of the DC animated universe and how their performances have really helped shape the identities of these characters, how we view them, and really honestly how we hear them. I think you'd be hard pressed to find anyone that says that, you know, when they read Batman comic books that they don't hear, you know, Kevin Conroy's voice or they don't hear Mark Hamill's voice. And I think that it's also so interesting to take note of that, because then when you get the opportunity, if for any of you listening, if you've had the opportunity to speak to any of the people that did the voices for these characters, a lot of times they say, you know, like with what Michael Ironside told you, that it was incredibly lonely, that it was just him in a booth and doing lines over and over again. And I remember specifically with Tim Daly, he was saying that, you know, he wishes, you know, he took it more serious because at the time, you know, he enjoyed doing it and he has a lot of fond memories of Superman, but he just felt like he didn't take it as serious as he should have, knowing now just how important his performance is to so many people. And I think that that's always really an exciting thing to just learn of like what their insight is. And because like for all of us, you know, we love the DC animated universe from Batman TAS to Superman TAS to Justice League, Justice League Unlimited, Batman Beyond, Static Shock, all of that stuff. We really celebrate. That's the Saturday Morning Superman show. It's a celebration of Superman in animation. So we're incredibly grateful that we've had so many numerous talented people lend their voices to these characters and bring them to life for generations. But I love that you met him. I love the photo that you have with him. So for those of you listening, if you go to Saturday Morning Superman Show on Instagram, you could find the photo. And I just thought that was such a cool opportunity. I think for myself, to date, the only Superman the Animated Series people that I've had the opportunity to meet would be Tim Daly and Lori Petty, the voice of Livewire.
Oh, wow. That's cool. I didn't realize you'd met her. That's neat. I think... So Tim Daly, I want to say it was either that same weekend or the weekend following. So this past weekend, he was at Lexington, like Kentucky Comic Con. So it's cool because I haven't seen him doing conventions much. So it was neat to see that he's out there doing cons again. I mean, I've seen John Glover a few times. You know, he voiced the Riddler. And Batman TAS.
He was also Lana Luthor.
That's right. Yeah, yeah. He was a trip interacting with guests. I'll save this once we get into coverage for Superman TAS. Once we get to World's Finest, I'll tell my Kevin Conroy story. But I want to save that one for now. But I've met Kevin Conroy. I met Adrian Barbeau, who voiced Catwoman. Ron Perlman. I've seen and waited in line with some friends who met Ron Perlman, and he of course voiced Clayface. It's funny, like we all forget how many of these voice actors were, you know, very established in the industry and, you know, doing horror films and other fun stuff before they got into Batman TAS. But yeah, it's super fun. I think Dana Delaney would be top of my list. I would just love to sit down and talk with her. Clancy Brown as well. But it was fun, like at the convention, I was running around like all the vendor booths, like specifically the guys that had posters, and asked, you have anything Superman TAS? No. Like everyone said no. I looked online. There's some super expensive Mondo prints. And I was just like, ugh. And I was even looking for like cheaper, you know, 90s Superman TAS posters on eBay. And I just couldn't find anything. So I wanted to start like a Superman TAS poster and, you know, get Michael Ironside and maybe one day Tim Daly and everybody else. But it just didn't work out. So maybe I'll get that opportunity again in the not too distant future. But super, super cool experience getting to meet and talk with Michael Ironside.
Yeah, I really, it's something that we've, a sentiment that we've spoken about in the past episodes and even just privately between us. But I really hope that Superman, when it opens, Warner Brothers has the, I don't know, the insight or the idea to really go back to Superman, the animated series. And I feel like Batman, the animated series has continually been relevant throughout the Batman film releases, probably more so post Batman Begins, where it's just only become even more and more popular. And I'd say like really like over the last decade when DC Direct at the time, when they were doing the Batman, the animated series action figure line, mm-hmm. and Diamond Select were doing the busts and the PVC diorama pieces. That was probably one of the heights of modern day, you know, Batman, the animated series and merchandising. And we've all seen Superman, the animated series pop up here and there. When Diamond Select were doing the Superman TAS bus, I was super excited about that. And I collected every piece. DC Direct did a 2-pack of Superman and Lois Lane, which I have still boxed. I think it's like a $500 figure now.
It's absurd. It's so crazy. Upset I slept on that one.
But I feel like, you know, McFarlane is due to revisit Superman the Animated Series. They launched their DC Multiverse wave with Batman and Superman from the Animated Series, but that was it. Yeah. And they just recently did, you know, Batman the Animated Series. They've been doing that. I think they're on like wave 2. But Superman the Animated Series, they haven't done anything with. And I really hope that it's sometime in 2025, perhaps before, during, or after the release of Superman, maybe even if Superman's very, very successful, that they say, hey, we're going to go back and really push Superman the Animated Series, because it's really a top-tier animated series in its own right, and it's rightfully a companion piece to Batman the Animated Series. And we've said it time and time again that people tend to go with Batman the Animated Series, and then they jump all the way to Justice League, kind of forgetting Superman the Animated Series exists. And I think that that's also one of the reasons why we haven't really seen the voice cast do many con appearances. I remember I met Tim Daly the first time that I met him. I believe he was filming Madam Secretary in Far Sills, not that far from my parents. And I remember we walked up, and when we saw that Madam Secretary was filming, I went and I got my my Superman the Animated Series print. And I went up there with the hopes that he was filming that day, and he was, and it couldn't have worked out any better. I'm glad that you mentioned that. Yeah, he did just recently appear. He's been doing a few con appearances more recently, but Kevin Conroy was someone that he was always a staple that you can rely on, and especially for Batman the Animated Series fans, like you would have had an opportunity to really like meet all of these people, and Superman the Animated Series, not so much. So hopefully, you know, around the time of Superman, you know, we'll get like a Tim Daly, Dana Delaney, Clancy Brown trio, which would be really cool. And if so, I know with certainty that you'll be at your convention meeting them, and I'll be at mine. And more reasons to be excited about 2025. There's just so many possibilities. But aside from that, there's so much Superman movie news that we have to cover.
Yeah. Where do you want to begin, Steven? I think I know you mentioned the Nick Holt interview. I think that's a good place to start.
I would say so. I think that's a good one. Nicholas Holt was recently a guest on Michael Rosenbaum's podcast, Inside of You. For those of you listening, I am trusting and I have confidence that you all know who Michael Rosenbaum is. But for those of you who don't know who Michael Rosenbaum is, he was Lex Luthor on the Smallville television series. He's been doing great work with his podcast, Inside of You. And he's had numerous guests, really, really amazing work, a lot of fun to listen to. His Michael Biehn episode is one of my favorites. Mm. But he recently had Nicholas Holt, and it was great because it was the meeting of two Lex Luthors. And of course, in Michael Rosenbaum's studio, there's a signed Superman the movie poster, and it's signed by Gene Hackman.
Oh, wow.
And Gene Hackman wrote, "To the second best Lex."
That's amazing.
And there's some photos of Nicholas Holt and Michael Rosenbaum with the poster. And they both address it. And one of the main questions that Rosenbaum had for Nick Holt was, who's your favorite Lex? And it was really exciting to hear that Michael Rosenbaum is Nick Holt's favorite Lex, that he grew up watching Smallville and he was impacted so much by that performance that it was just so layered across those 10 seasons that Rosenbaum was a part of. Nearly 10 seasons, because he did leave at one point. And how Gene Hackman's also one of his favorites, but that Rosenbaum is in fact his very favorite Lex.
Yeah. No, it's so cool that, and I'm sure it had to be somewhat of a plan. Like, I'm sure Rosenbaum probably reached out to Nick Holt or his agency and was like, "Hey, since you just got announced as Lex, like, you know, why don't you come on the podcast and we chat Lex to Lex, you know?"
Of course, yeah.
I love the fact that they just are so actively celebrating the legacy of Lex Luthor in film with Gene Hackman. And it would be fun to pick Gene Hackman's brain. I know he hasn't done any sort of filming in like ages. I guess it was like a year or two ago where like some paparazzi photos of Gene Hackman showed up and he's just out, like, I think he's in his 90s, like he's old. And he was in like jogging shorts and a t-shirt and it was just like living his best. Like, and I love, he's just like, yeah, you know, I did my time in cinema and I'm taking it easy. And then in my 90s. But no, it's really cool that they got to sit down and chat all things Lex Luthor. And I'm curious, like, outside of the podcast, like the interview, if Michael managed to get any information out of Nick Holt about the upcoming film.
Oh, I'm sure. We have to point out the fact that Michael Rosenbaum was a part of Guardians of the Galaxy. And
that's right.
He's worked with James Gunn. So in the original Guardians of the Galaxy comics, there was an original team before, like the Star-Lord, and all of them. And he was, he appeared in Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. Mm-hmm. I believe he was also in Volume 3, and he was a part of Sylvester Stallone's group. Yep. Of Ravagers. And they were the original team from the comic books. So I'd be almost certain that Michael Rosenbaum's able to... James Gunn's actually been on the show.
Okay.
So I'm sure, you know, if you wanted to find a little information out or visit the set, I'm sure they would let him do that. I think something to look forward to is I am 99% sure that when it gets closer to Superman releasing in theaters, that Michael Rosenbaum will have the whole cast. If he doesn't have them all together, I'm sure there'll be an episode with David Corenswet and Rachel Brosnahan and probably another one with Nicholas Holt. It just seems very likely that will be something to look forward to with his podcast.
Oh, for sure. And it's funny, like, I mean, everybody knows Michael as Lex Luthor. And also, you know, the I think his name was Martin X. That was the character's name in, in the, the Guardians of the Galaxy stuff. But he was Wally West, the Flash, and Justice League and Justice League Unlimited.
He absolutely was. Yeah, he was.
So he has his hands like all over DC and Marvel. And you know, it's just really, really cool that I'm sure he's living as a fan as well. And he's probably like so excited to see what Nick Holt and company are going to do, you know, with Lex Luthor moving forward. So,
well, it was, oh yeah, no, say what
you're doing. No, go ahead. Go ahead. Yeah, you're good.
Oh no, it was really a great listen. And I, as soon as Nicholas Holt was one of the guests, for all of us on social media, you saw like every different like DC site and DC page and movie page, you know, like basically skimming the interview where they're like, what's like the latest like line that he said? What, like, what's he revealing? You know, what's he talking about? And, you know, it was exciting to hear Nicholas Holt's insight because he's a terrific performer in his own right. And he was just saying that, you know, he's, you know, seen every version of Lex Luthor. He's watched all the movies and he's enjoyed all the different various performances, but that Rosenbaum and Gene Hackman were his favorites. And another interesting insight into just his idea was that he said that All-Star Superman was something that he turned to because Rosenbaum just was saying like, you know, do they have you working out for the movie? Are you going to have a shirtless scene? And Nicholas Holt kind of looked at him and he was like, no, I don't think so. And then Rosenbaum was kind of like, you've read the script. And he was like, oh yeah, no, like I've read it, but like, I don't think like there's any intention for me to have like a shirtless scene. But he said that, that he has been working out for the role and that wasn't anything that was required of him. But he said that if you go back and read All-Star Superman, when Superman and Lex Luthor meet each other, sort of near the end of the graphic novel and in the animated film, Lex Luthor points out that, you know, that he's been working out while he's been in prison and that his muscles are real, that like, you know, that it's like really like, you know, like the Rock, blood, sweat, tears, you know, that he's put into building his body, whereas Superman, you know, is just basically naturally endowed with his strength. And he said that that was just something that really he picked up on. And he just felt like, no, like I want to work out because it's just kind of like the mind frame that I want Lex Luthor to have. And I thought like, wow, that's the thing that I love about interviews. When you gain insight into an actor's approach to a character, it's something that you'll probably never see on screen. But just to know that, yeah, Nicholas Holt has been working out for this role because of that panel, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy to think, like, that's a form of method acting. And, you know, I don't think that's to the extreme, like so many method actors out there, but it's cool that he picked up on that and decided to go that route with his take of on Lex Luthor from a comic book. Like, I think that's amazing. Kudos to him. That's awesome.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And also I feel like another thing that's worth pointing out about that is All-Star Superman is a graphic novel that we've seen repeatedly come up in regards to one of the contextual inspirations for this film. It's something that James Gunn has spoken about numerous times when asked on like Threads or Twitter, you know, what graphic novels should we read? What graphic novels have you been reading? You know, what graphic novel has inspired, you know, aspects of this film? And he's gone from like Superman for All Seasons and a few others. But All-Star Superman is the one that he's continually gone to. It's something that Eddie Gathigi in his Instagram story today, by the time that you all listen to this, it probably won't be available anymore to see unless somebody screenshotted it. But on Wednesday, March 20th, in his story, he posted that he just finished reading All-Star Superman. So I'm positive that James Gunn has been recommending that book for anyone in the cast to read if they're looking at reading a Superman comic. And to know that that's something that Nicholas Hoult took inspiration from, specifically that Lex, I think is pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have a lot to add onto the All-Star Superman thing other than that's the groundwork. It seems like if there was one book that could be considered the Superman Bible for this upcoming film, it's far and away going to be All-Star. So if you want some insight into how this story is going to feel, go and check that one out. And no, DC did not pay us to push the book, but it's just, it's that good. It's amazing.
Head out to your local comic shop, be it in Queens, New York, be it wherever it is, and find, you know, the essential Superman reads. And if we were to compile our own essential list, All-Star Superman is definitely on it. It's a great read. And also the bonus is they made an animated film for it. James Denton was the voice of Superman in that. We've yet to cover that on the podcast, but you can be certain that we will sometime in 2025.
Yeah, I'm sure we will make it a priority to cover that animated film prior to James Gunn Superman hitting the big screen.
Now, something that's interesting to me is back on March 6th on Instagram, James Gunn posted a look at various incarnations of Superman in comics and in animation. And his caption was, "Someone on Threads asked me, what's inspiring our Superman movie other than the Donner films? And he said there are too many to count, but he offered a few different pictures. And within like the carousel of photos that he offered, All-Star Superman was there. But it was also really cool that he included an animation cell from the Fleischer Superman theatrical shorts. And slide number 8 out of 10 was Bruce Timm Superman. What were your thoughts on that when you were looking at all the different inspirations for James Gunn, specifically outside of him referencing a comic book, but him just referencing different versions of Superman? Was there anyone that specifically struck you where you were like, oh boy, like this is a Superman that I can't wait to see elements of in his Superman movie?
Well, I think the refreshing thing, and once again, I'm probably going to start saying this a whole lot, I breathed another sigh of relief. I know I said that like way back when we were talking about when they first announced that James Gunn and Peter Safran were taking over. And then I probably mentioned that again, like once they announced the official, like the initial film slate, like sigh of relief. And once again, like this post, I felt like, you know, you see All-Star Superman in there, the Fleischer, some of the earlier, I'm guessing it's gotta be early Silver Age, the Superman family, that's in there with Supergirl. It looks like, Grant Morrison's run on Action from New 52, like when he's wearing jeans and boots and like a Superman t-shirt. I, you know, far and away, like what piqued my interest was seeing that shot from the, it's like the tail end of like the theme song from Superman TAS where, you know, Clark's opening his shirt up. You see the Superman symbol, like the crest. So that was in there and I was like, nice. That's super, super exciting to see. And then they had Alex Ross's Kingdom Come Superman in there. And I think the picture is specifically from, I think it's JSA number, I want to say it's number 10. It's 10 or 11. And that was from like the later 2000s run. When Kingdom Come Superman shows up in like the Prime Universe and he's part of the JSA team. It's really, really cool. It's kind of an underrated, goes under the radar run. Jeff Johns was writing it, and Jeff Johns will always be my favorite comic book writer. And it was cool when Kingdom Come Superman showed up in that series. Now, I'm not going to go down a rabbit hole. I just want to say a lot of times Alex Ross would draw the panels like in the Kingdom Come style in that series. So it very much played like, you know, kind of a spiritual successor to Kingdom Come. And Kingdom Come is just a flawless story written by Mark Waid, art by Alex Ross. And that deals with a very, very different feeling version of Superman. But at the end of the day, it's like this reinvigoration of hope. And it's set like, you know, 50 years in that Earth's future, give or take. And Superman's older. And he'd been gone. I'd say it's like the closest thing I can compare it to. And there's a bunch of, you know, Batman, Wonder Woman. They're all like central focus. But I feel like more than anything else, it focuses on Superman returning. So this would be, to me, like Superman's equivalent to The Dark Knight Returns. Kingdom Come feels like Superman Returns. But I freaking love Kingdom Come Superman. And there's a grit to him. There's this, you know, I failed sensibility to him for like years. And then after like a decade, he comes back and it's like he's fed up, but he's not dour. And you'd expect him to be. And it's like he spent so much time like, oh, like, you know, I wasn't good enough and I failed and like I have to retreat. But it's as soon as it's apparent to him that he has to come back, he's that inspiration and that hope and all of that returns like it never went away. And there's this regality to this version of Superman and I love it. So I don't think James Gunn had said a whole lot other than obviously like the crest for the new suit kind of like paying homage to Kingdom Come Superman more than any of the other ones. But I don't think he'd said a whole lot about if yes or no, Kingdom Come Superman is going to be an inspiration. And I think he definitely is. So I'm really excited for that.
Yeah, it's interesting because out of all the times that James Gunn's been asked about what fans should look forward to or what are the specific inspirations are from the graphic novels, in looking back, you know, he routinely, you know, talks about All-Star Superman. He routinely talks about Superman for All Seasons. Those were two big ones that he's really made mention of. But Kingdom Come, it's something that like he would tease images of, like the logo over time, or like, you know, a fan art photo of Christopher Reeve, but in the Superman Kingdom Come outfit. And it'll be interesting to see what the influence that has on the film. I know some people have been speculating that he's going to sort of, or he already has like reverse engineered the story. So the idea of like having like, you know, Green Lantern in it and Hawkgirl and Mr. Terrific and all these other heroes that are in existence and are basically relearning what it means to truly be a hero through Superman. They're kind of like looking at it and possibly theorizing that might be the take for this movie. I think it's still so early. Like, I mean, we really don't know anything, so it's hard to say. But Kingdom Come definitely has a major inspiration on the suit, at least as far as the crest goes. There's a little gold trim outside the red S that's a definite homage to the Fleischer theatrical shorts crest. So it's a little Fleischer in that it does have the gold trim around the S, but the S is very much Alex Ross Kingdom Come. And that's an interesting thing to see. As of right now, principal photography began on February 29th. It's March 20th that we're recording this, so we're nearing on a one whole month down of filming on Superman, and they've been really good so far with maintaining secrecy. They really haven't been filming outside that much, aside from when they were filming in Norway for the Fortress of Solitude. But it was like about a week ago there were paparazzi pictures of Maria Gabriella De Faria as the engineer and of what her costume looks like. Now, they haven't released anything official. James Gunn never commented on it. But we did get to see like paparazzi set photos of how she appears in the movie. But they've yet to begin filming truly outdoors in a way where we've gotten a look at like the cast. But it was interesting because earlier today, when I was on X, formerly known as Twitter, there was an account called When Batman Fly, at When Batman Fly, and they had some really interesting rumors. It seems like an account where, you know, some of it should be taken with a grain of salt, but that it's definitely informed by maybe an inside source. We don't really know. James Gunn tends to like debunk this kind of stuff, but he hasn't said anything about this yet. And so I'll read the tweet. It starts where the rumors regarding the Superman suit reveal, one, they're doing a video similar to the Batman with David Corenswet standing there in his suit moving slowly. It will have a song playing, not a score. One of the possible choices is Walking on Sunshine. There will be a similar video released for Clark and Lois. The idea is to display the duality of Clark and Superman. Other characters have shot similar videos. One idea was that there would be a daily reveal of a character with a countdown to the final most important reveal. The other plans include revealing the official logo art, not just the suit. They're having some doubts how long they should wait, as David won't be shooting outside until mid-April. The suit will be controversial, but familiar, using different eras, including Cavill. There might be two suits in the movie, one for fighting scenes and another one for strategical stuff and accessing the AI knowledge in the Fortress of Solitude. Production is going very well. Everyone seems happy. No major hiccups so far. And that's it.
Ah, man, it just gets me so hype. So my initial takeaway, you sent that to me while we were both at work earlier today, and you know, I had some downtime while I was at work, so you know, I was reading through it, and like you said, it's one of those things we do have to take it with a grain of salt, because you know, who knows with these things, like rumors pop up like this all the time and they're debunked. I think the first thing that popped in my mind that made it sound legit was the Walking on Sunshine. Like, it's not a score, it's a song. Sounds like one of them might be Walking on Sunshine. And the first thing that popped into my head is like, well, if that doesn't sound like something James Gunn would do with his soundtracks from the Guardians trilogy. Like, he was so strategic about the song he picks. And that's so tongue-in-cheek with, you know, it's Superman. Like, he's solar-powered, Walking on Sunshine. Like, so who knows if that's going to be legit or not, but just based on that alone and that song choice, it made me sound like, yeah, you know, that's very, very possible. And I love the idea of them doing like the reveal videos, like do one a day. I think the other thing that made it sound legit, because from Jump Street they've been talking about the duality of Clark Kent and Superman and just how separate that they're gonna kind of appear. Yeah, that sounds like it could be legit. Who knows? Like, if that does happen, if it doesn't, like the whole video reveal stuff, like whatever. But that would make sense to me. That's super exciting. I'm kind of hoping it happens. I think the other thing that, since this is a podcast about Superman and animation, the two suit thing made me think about, you know, the different suits that Superman had in Superman TAS, and a lot of the reasons he had different suits in the cartoon was so he could have different suits in the action figure line and they could sell more toys.
Great point. Absolutely. Yeah, great
you
point.
Know, so it definitely made me think, well, that could be inspiration directly from TAS right there, which is cool.
Yeah, I know, like, especially when you're talking about a superhero movie, there's boundless rumors, and we've been fans of these things for so long that, you know, that's a whole nother podcast to talk about all the rumors that have permeated different superhero movies. But every now and then you do read things that do seem plausible, and I think there's a few people that have provided inside information where they have a proven track record. I remember there were certain things about Superman where they referenced that it's going to be the Kingdom Come, you know, logo, even before Isabella Merck had posted that thing with the Superman Kingdom Come crest on her name tag during the table read. And so I feel like everything that was stated doesn't sound outside the realm of reason. And it's something that we even spoke about. We've spoken so much about Superman now that I don't honestly remember if this was something that we discussed on the podcast or in private. But we spoke about how, you know, with what Matt Reeves did with Robert Pattinson with the reveal of the Batman, that that was one of the most exciting moments. I think it happened 2 years before the film, where it was just a very, it was a shot of Robert Pattinson moving around. It was almost like with that red filter that we mm-hmm. would see continue with Superman, with Batman, and they played the Michael Giacchino theme. And I think it makes sense. It was something that we were talking about John Murphy wise in one of the episodes, where we thought, like, okay, are we going to hear the first sound that John Murphy has created for Superman in the costume reveal? Are they going to do something similar? But the idea that the song Walking on Sunshine is going to play in the first reveal for David Corenswet as Superman, like you said, it makes complete sense for James Gunn, because that's a hallmark of him as a filmmaker. It's something that, you know, I feel has also been a hallmark of Zack Snyder as a filmmaker. People tend to forget that the first movie that Zack Snyder did was Dawn of the Dead, and Dawn of the Dead was written by James Gunn, and that had a very music heavy soundtrack, and music's been such a sincere part of all of their films. And you know, the tweets go on to say how Walking on Sunshine is the top contender, but it's possible that there might be other songs that might be used. And they also it was interesting where they said that David Corenswet won't be filming a Superman outside until mid-April. And that was something that we always thought about, that, yeah, like, once David Corenswet's filming outside as both Clark Kent and Superman, you know that's when we're going to see what he looks like, you know, even if we haven't got an official photo yet. And the idea that Peter Safran, James Gunn, and Warner Brothers are debating over when to release it makes complete sense. And especially from a logistics standpoint, it's like, okay, you don't want to release it too early, but also you don't want to miss the, you don't want to miss the mark where the first reveal comes through a paparazzi shot. And because, like, you know, you look at someone like Maria Gabriella de Faria as the engineer, not any knock to her, but you see the photo and it's like, oh, that's cool, that's exciting, but it's Superman. You know, and Superman deserves that treatment where your first look at him head to toe isn't a paparazzi shot, but in fact, a full on reveal where you can see, like, oh, this is how he looks. I think within recent memory, something that happened similar was when the actor Paul Wesley was cast as Captain Kirk, and they were filming, I believe, in Toronto. And there were set pictures that had come out of Paul Wesley on the set in the Gold Command outfit. And I remember people were like wondering, like, oh, like we didn't know Paul Wesley was going to be a part of Strange New Worlds. Like, who's he playing? And I remember, like, that very same day, Paramount and CBS released the very first official shot of Paul Wesley. And across all the trades, like The Hollywood Reporter, Deadline, all of them, Variety, they all had the articles running that Paul Wesley was cast as the new James Kirk. And so I just feel like that's the nature of this whole machine. And that, yeah, the insight of knowing now, most likely with a grain of salt, with a touch of salt, that David Corenswet will begin filming outside for people to see, be it in Atlanta or Ohio, wherever that might be. That gives us the idea that it's not very much longer to wait until we see what he looks like.
Yeah, it could be as soon as next week. It could be a few months. Like, it's hard to gauge. You know, it was back on March 5th, and that was like the first behind the scenes look of filming in Norway. And my assumption would be they were doing, you know, landscape pickup shots in Norway. And that was kind of when we got confirmation that that was going to be the for the Fortress of Solitude. I'm posing the question, was David Korn sweat out there? Did he film?
He was confirmed, I think, by the camera company, like one of the, I think the companies behind like the cameras that they were using, not IMAX specifically, but there was an account that leaked, or they didn't necessarily leak, but they confirmed that the people that were on set were David Korn sweat, Superman, Maria Gabriella Faria, the engineer. And I think Sarah Sampaio, and she's Miss Tessmacher.
Oh, interesting. Those are
the three ones that were in Norway.
That's cool. Yeah, so I'm glad you knew that, because I did not know that. So I guess my question was put like, were they just going to do like pickup shots, landscape, and then would the fortress itself, which I would lean that the fortress, like inside the fortress, is most likely going to be like a stage, a sound stage, CG, like you know, whatever. But talking about Warner Brothers and, you know, how they could gauge, you know, can they keep it a secret once they start filming outside? Are they going to be able to keep the paparazzi away from David Korn sweat? Potentially, because just today, while we are recording earlier today, we got our first official look at Michael Keaton as Beetlejuice, and they did a hell of a job of keeping him under wraps. I know you and I talked like months ago, there was like a potential leaked photo, and it was just like a little bit of his face, and he's holding a like a syringe in someone's throat. You don't know who it is. But other than that, like, we didn't get any like pop-up paparazzi set photos of Michael Keaton as Beetlejuice for this new movie, which I think is crazy. 'Cause they were filming that like last year. So who knows? Like they could do one hell of a job of keeping it under wraps. Well, time will tell, I suppose.
I feel like with Beetlejuice, because I remember like the set pictures that we saw were of Catherine O'Hara, Jenna Ortega, Ryder, and Justin Theroux. And I feel like with the nature of that, like there was stuff that they were filming outside, but Beetlejuice is probably more of just on set.
Yep.
And I feel like a lot of Superman would be on set, but then naturally you're going to have to film him like outside. You know, it's similar to like Sasha Kaye when they were filming The Flash, and we got the first look of her.
That's right.
You know, and I remember specifically with Man of Steel, the first photos that we got were of Henry Cavill as Clark Kent when he's on the bike, when he's biking to work at the end. And there were also the photos of him as Superman on the outside when they were filming in Chicago. Outside of Chicago, and the location that was used is Smallville, and that was like some of the first imagery that we saw of him as the in the costume, which then they released like that official still of him when he when Feyora throws him into like a steel vault.
Mm-hmm.
If it is in fact to be believed that he'll be filming outside in April. Yeah, like you said, it could be next week. It could be very soon. And I think that's also the very exciting aspect, is that, you know, we're so close to all of it, but we don't know when, you know, and it could be like something that they say tomorrow, or it could also be something where just all of a sudden, like, everybody's going crazy on Instagram and Threads and X, and you look at it and it's like, what's everybody? And it's like, oh my gosh, they put it out, and then we have to do like an emergency podcast where we have to
right. record. Yeah, no, it's a big possibility, and it's part of the fun. Like, I mean, doing this podcast and just being a fan and looking forward to this movie in general, it's one of those things where the speculation abounds, and you know, you wonder like Easter Sunday, like, are they going to do something? Gosh. You know, like, who knows?
That would be so like on Good Friday.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. There's so many cool things
that they could do. And I'm sure Gunn and company are probably sitting around tables like, oh, we could do this. Wouldn't that get them riled up? Nah, we're not going to do that. Oh, we could do this. Nah, you know, it's fun. Like I'm having a lot of fun. Just, you know, you never know when you get up, wake up one day, what to expect. And it feels like there's just something new every single day. And it's been fun.
It's been fun. And this is our Saturday morning Legacy Talk episode 4. So we hope you've been enjoying our revival of the Saturday morning Superman show. We are getting to Superman the Animated Series season 2. But there's just so much Superman legacy now, just Superman news that we've just been having so much fun recording these episodes and keeping you all up to date on the filming and on the production aspects of it. It's also really fun for us to just discuss it, to really, like, you know, sit down and talk about something that we're both very excited about. So until then, Ian, is there anything additional that you're looking forward to? And where, of course, can we find you?
I'm just looking forward to the journey of marching towards, or I guess I should say flying towards Superman. Yeah, it's the journey is one of the funnest parts, and the speculation and all that, like, as manic as we could sound, we're just having fun, and that's the important thing. So I'm loving every second of it as we get closer. And as always, you can find me on Instagram at @Ian_TheWolfman, as well as over at Universal Studios Monsters, and my other podcast, the Friday Night Video Podcast, at fnv.podcast.
And you can find me at Sherbert Danny Jr. on Instagram. And please, of course, be sure to follow Saturday Morning Superman Show. If you're interested, check out the show notes and follow us if you haven't been following us already. And as always, be peaceful. And here's a word from our sponsor.
Nicotine. If you want to go up fast, take one of these. With my X-ray vision, I can see the harm cigarettes do inside people's bodies. That's why I never say yes to a cigarette.
Never say yes to a cigarette. Just say no, kids.